Welcome to the New Grace Sermon Podcast. Our church exists so people experience new life in Christ. We invite you to connect with us on social media at newgrace.cc, on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about our church or to support us financially, visit newgrace.cc.
If you have your Bible, go to the book of Luke. We were in Luke last week because we started a series last week. It was an unplanned, unscheduled series that just started, and we're going to go into part two today. We were in Luke 17 last Sunday. I've got it on the screen for your reading if you don't have your Bible with you. Verse 28, Jesus is in the context of talking about the last days. This creates a lean in for his people. The last days, the end times. Yeah, the times leading up to his coming. Look what the Bible says, Luke 17, verse 28. Jesus says, "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus, like that," Jesus says, "even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." We're preaching today our continuation of our series, The Days of Lot. Thank you, Jared. Jesus wanted you and I, along with the believing audience there in the context of Luke 17. He wanted us to know how it was going to be in the days prior to his return. In the days prior to his second coming to the earth, Jesus wanted us to know what to look for. Many people hang their hat on Matthew 24, where Jesus said, "You do not know the hour that the Son of Man cometh." And I say amen, I agree to that. But Jesus does tell us that we can know the season of his coming. He does tell us that we can know what the times look like. And that's what he's doing right here in Luke 17. He is telling us about what the hour, the days of his return to earth will look like. And he tells us that they will look like the days of an Old Testament character found in Genesis 19 who lived in a city called Sodom. His name was Lot. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Lot, it'll be like that before I come back to the earth. Last week, we talked about those living in the days of Lot. And in verse 28, Jesus basically tells us that everybody in the days of Lot was living what you and I would describe as normal everyday life. They were just going on about their life like business as usual. But under the surface of everybody living a normal life, we learn from the account in Genesis 19 that there was darkness and defilement and debauchery that was unfolding in the days of Lot in the city of Sodom. We talked about how God sent two angels that were going to destroy the city in God's judgment. And they came to the city of Sodom, and they came to Lot's house, and Lot invited them in. And as they laid down to go to bed that night after they ate supper, a group of young and old men from the city who were driven by carnal, lustful appetites of same-sex attraction came to the door, wanted Lot to turn over the two men. They did not know, and Lot did not know, that the two men were actually angels. They appeared in human form. They apparently were beautiful in appearance, and these men, in a lust-driven craze, told Lot to hand the men over so that they could have their way sexually with them and rape them. Lot refused. He came outside and said, "Do not do this wickedly thing." He said, "I will offer you my two virgin daughters instead of these men." And the Bible teaches and tells us that they began to press upon Lot. They said, "Who are you to judge what we're wanting to do and calling it sin?" They began to press upon Lot. They said, "What we were going to do to the men, we're going to do it to you." And it says that the angels, the men in the house, reached through the door, grabbed Lot, pulled him in, and smote the men of the city with blindness. Jesus tells us, as it was in the days of Lot, it'll be prior to Jesus coming back. And last week, if you missed it, you can listen to it on the podcast. We talked about everything that was happening in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and how that mirrors the similarities of what is happening today. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's 2024. You and I are living in the days of Lot. We are living in a world and a culture that lines up and parallels, mirroring exactly what you and I looked at last week, living in the days of Lot. But today, I want you to look at verse 29. Verse 29, it says, but the same day that, I want you to look at this now, underline it, Lot went out of Sodom. Lot went out of Sodom. We talked about those living in the days of Lot, but today I want to talk about those leaving in the days of Lot. Church, Jesus tells us that in the days of Lot, before God's judgment fell and he rained fire and brimstone at the hand of those two angelic beings, the Bible tells us that before the judgment and the wrath of God came down, the Bible tells us that Lot left the city. He went out of Sodom. I want you to listen to me this morning. I'm about to help you and encourage you if you're saved. And if you're not saved, you need to pay close attention because today is a good day for you to get saved. Those leaving in the days of Lot doesn't necessarily point to the end times revelation of Jesus coming back to the planet. No, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Lot, so it will be leading up to Jesus' return. Meaning, there are things that are going to happen in Lot's story that bring similarities to what's going to be happen prior to Jesus coming. When someone says the second coming of Jesus, they are not talking about him appearing in the sky and taking the church. When someone talks about the second coming of Jesus, they are talking about where he returns physically to the planet, and he steps on the Mount of Olives. And when he steps on the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem, it is going to split in two. And he is going to walk down through that valley, and he is going to walk through the eastern gate up into the temple and declare himself to be the Messiah, the Christ, the true King of the Jews. And he will reign as he takes the title deed from the devil, from the Antichrist. He will annihilate the enemy armies, and he will set up a 1,000-year kingdom on this planet, and everyone that is saved will reign and rule with him. If you are glad about that day, I need somebody to act like you at church with me. See, he says leading up to the return of Jesus, there are things that are going to be happening. People will be living life like they lived it in the days of Lot. But then he tells us that before the destruction came, watch this, somebody was leaving. Somebody made an exit. Somebody escaped. I'm talking before one piece of brimstone, before one fireball, before one piece of molten rock hit that city. Lot left out. What is Jesus trying to tell us? What is he trying to show us? Lot left before the wrath came. Could it be that he's trying to make a connection of end time truth to you and I, that we might be living in the days of Lot, but like Lot and a few in that crowd, there is coming a day very soon where we too will be leaving. I'm talking about before the apocalyptic events of Revelation unfold. I'm talking about before God opens up those vials of judgment, before God begins to empty out the God-awful wrath and destruction. We're going to talk about it. You don't want to miss next Sunday. I'm going to talk about everything that's going to be happening. I'm talking when the church leaves, when Jesus calls believers out of here at the rapture of the church. Next week, I'm going to tell you everything that's going to be happening on this planet if you are left behind. But we ain't talking about those left behind today. We're talking about those like Lot who are going to leave before the wrath of God comes. Can I stop and testify and say, I'm glad I'm a part of that number. I'm glad I'm a part of that crowd. I'm glad there is coming a day soon and very soon. My God, it could be night or noon. It could be today. It could be this weekend. It could be any moment. There is going to come a day where Jesus is going to step out on the clouds and he's going to call the church of the living God home. I wish I had somebody that was ready to leave this world. Somebody that was ready to make an exit. Somebody that was ready to leave past the sun, the moon, and the stars. Jupiter, Venus, and Mars. Is there anybody in the house that can clear off a spot? Oh, I wish somebody would testify with me. I wish somebody would help me preach. My God, 9 o'clock was comatose, frozen, chosen. I need somebody at 11 to help me clear off a spot and act like you're glad, glad, glad. Leaving in the days of Lot. I'm glad Jesus was painting a picture for us. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. He was trying to show us something. Yes, we're living in the days of Lot. But he wanted you to pay special attention to the escape, the exit that happened in Luke chapter 17. The story is found in Genesis 19. The actual story is found in Genesis 19. And when I look at the story in Genesis 19, there's some interesting similarities. Very interesting similarities, because in Genesis 19, the group that left before the wrath came down was a small fraction of the population. The group that left was just a few of the many. The group that left was taken out in dramatic fashion. It was literally a divine rescue mission. The group that left missed the outpouring of God's wrath and judgment altogether, and they made their escape right before he opened the floodgates of righteous indignation. The same day, he says in verse 29, Lot went out of Sodom. See, if you go to Genesis 19, go with me. Go there. Oh, look at that. We already got it on the screen. Todd is on it. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Look at Genesis 19, verse 15. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters. Keep going. Which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Verse 16, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Real quickly, I think it's interesting to note, and it should excite you, mercy has a magnetic pull. And if you think you've experienced the mercy of God, you just wait until he takes his church out of here, and then you see what he pours out on this planet. Knowing you missed that, knowing that you were protected from it. Did you notice Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Lot, it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man. You know one thing Noah and Lot both have in common? They missed the judgment of God. They were protected. They were preserved. They were removed from where the judgment came. Listen to this. Paul describes the taking away of the church like this. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up, gone, taken, snatched, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I saw a YouTube video not too long ago, and it was a scrapyard. And on that scrapyard, they had cloth and glass and plastic and wood and styrofoam and metal. And they took a crane magnet, and they brought that crane magnet over the top of that scrapyard, and they lowered that magnet, and they turned it on. And when they turned that magnet on, all that metal in the yard, it started moving. And it all started sliding from different directions, from different places in the yard. It all started sliding and moving. None of the cloth was moving. None of the glass was moving. None of the plastic was moving. None of the wood was moving. But everything that had the same properties in it that were in that magnet, y'all ain't hearing me? Everything started moving and started shaking. When that magnet got to a particular height over that scrapyard, every piece of metal gone, just up, gone, and attached itself to that magnet. It was taken, snatched, gathered, it left the yard. Oh my God, y'all are so slow today. I want to tell you, there is coming a day when the magnetic draw of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will ascend from on high. And the Bible tells us that the archangel will herald the coming of the new king with a trumpet and a shout. And I want to tell you, everything and everybody that has the same properties in them that are in him, there's going to be a shaking, and there's going to be a moving, there's going to be a sliding, and one day he's going to step above us on the atmosphere of his presence, and every name that names the name of Christ, everybody bought by his blood, everybody redeemed by his pardon, everybody forgiven by his grace, I want to tell you, bless God, like metal to a magnet, we are going to be leaving here, we going to be going up, we going to be taken, snatched, gathered. I wonder if I got anybody on a Sunday that can help me rejoice. Glass ain't going, plastic ain't going, wood ain't going, cloth ain't going, but my God, every born again, every blood bought, every redeemed, my name, it's written there, and bless God. You ought to shout right now. You ought to rejoice right now. I need somebody to help me act like you know that when it comes down, I long for the day when his face I shall see. Woo! He may be on the next cloud passing by. What a day when we behold his face on high. Very soon he's coming to take his bride to be by his side, and he may be on the next cloud passing by. Somebody better help me open up your mouth and give him a Sunday praise. Woo! Gone. Taken. Drawn. That's what's happening right now in the 21st century church. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I don't feel at home in this world. I just don't belong. I feel like I'm gonna waste my time if I try to live my life like I'm staying here forever, because my home is of another zip code, of another address, of another world, of another king. I feel the draw. Shaking, moving, sliding, gone. Let me show you something. Come on, JJ, help me close. Y'all like, already? Yeah, I can't breathe. COVID lugs can't keep up with no preaching. Say amen right there. Here's the thing. If we're leaving like Lot left, could there be lessons Could there be lessons that we can learn from the lot that left? For three of them, quickly. Like Lot, many believers are too worldly. Genesis 19 tells us that Lot separated from a godly influence in his life. He separated from Abraham. And he moved to the plains. And on the horizon of the plains, he could see Sodom. And he set up his camp, pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the thing that he was looking at, he eventually lived there. He moves into Sodom. Genesis 19 tells us later that he sat at the gate of the city, meaning he had a position of business or political authority in the city of Sodom. Hold up. You mean to tell me this joker was saved and served the same God Abraham served, but he separated from his godly influence, and what became something in his eye became something that he moved into? And then he acclimated there, he assimilated there, he made friends there, he was at home there. Hold up, hold up. He was at home in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was so much at home in Sodom and Gomorrah that he called the men of the city brethren or brothers. He was so vexed and warped by the thing he moved into that it eventually moved into him. And he was worldly. God told me to bring you a word and tell you this morning. You need to listen to me. Some of us in this room are living for the wrong world. And you are falling in love with stuff God's going to destroy. You are chasing after stuff that God's going to erase. You are longing for things God is going to burn up. Do not fall in love with your money. Do not fall in love with success. Do not fall in love with comfort and convenience, because it's either going to blow off on the way up or burn off on the way down. If you believe that this morning, somebody help me give God a praise. Number two, like Lot, many believers are a poor witness. They're a poor witness. Lot had such a weak testimony that when the angel showed up in his house and they asked him, "Is there anybody else here that you want to take with you before we destroy this place?" Lot, listen, we can't destroy this city. We can't even touch it until you're gone. I'll feed you, baby bird. God is not going to touch it in destruction until we're gone. But here's the commission. Here was the challenge. Here was the question. Hey, is there anybody else you want to take with you before you leave? And Lot, oh, the death angel. You just had dinner with the death angel. And now you want to get spiritually sober and serious. Now you want to get serious. See, most believers are just like Lot. You're leaving, but you're never going to live like it till it's too late. Some of you are going to actually start acting like a Christian on the way up, and that's too late. Lot, we're about to wipe this off the map. Is there anybody you want to take with you? So he already knows his wife's going. He already knows his daughters are going. He goes to his sons-in-law, which I think is a nice gesture. I used to tell my daughters that when a boy would finally show up at the door to take them out, the very first one that showed up with the very first knock, and as I went to open the door, the rapture would happen. And me and my family would go to glory with Jesus, and that boy would be left there on the doorstep. He goes to his sons-in-law. This is in Genesis 19. He goes to his sons-in-law, and he says, "Man, God's had it. It's time. Like, this is it. This is it. It's about to happen. We're going to live to see it. It's going to happen in our day. And those death angels are standing in my living room waiting to take me out of here. And I want you to go with me. And Genesis 19 tells us that he was one, or as one, that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He was such a weak witness, they didn't take him serious. When he went to actually tell them, we need to go, we need to go. God wants to save you. God wants to deliver you. God wants you to come with me because he's about to rain down destruction. They were like, wait a second. You're saved? You serve Jehovah? You believe that God? You mean this whole time you've been the real deal and we didn't know it? He was such a poor witness that he had no power on his testimony. Yeah, you know what we need in the last days? Some people who are not like Lot, who are willing to be witnesses for God no matter what it costs them, no matter how it categorizes you. Yeah. We need some young men and women to be Christian when Christian ain't cool. I need somebody to holler at me right now if you know what I'm preaching. I'm talking about being a testimony, a witness, an ambassador, a representer. Hey, we're leaving one day. It's coming. It's getting near. It's getting near. And I'm not waiting until it's too late to take it serious. Like Lot, many believers are a poor witness. Many believers are too worldly. Lastly, like Lot, many believers aren't watching. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, you don't know what hour I'm going to show up. When he said hour, he was correlating with the Jewish calendar. See, Jews had watches, first watch, second watch, third watch, fourth watch of the night. And those watches correlated with hours. And so when they talked about Jesus's coming, they were talking about it being late in the hour. In fact, Jesus said that the cry, the call would come at midnight, meaning it was at the very last stroke of the clock, that in the late last hour that he would come. And I want to tell you something. It's 11:59. And he tells them, you don't know when I'm coming, so watch. Watch means to be alert, attentive. And the only way you can be alert and attentive is if you are awake. You need to be awake. Everybody say awake. Like it's 12 o'clock and you got caffeine surging through your bloodstream, beating your heart up out your chest. Say, awake. Jesus said, you need to be awake. You need to be alert. You need to be attentive. You need to be watching. In fact, he tells us in several passages that we are to watch. Paul urges us to watch. Peter urges us to watch. Jesus himself said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 3. Can you put it on the screen for me, Mr. Dahlman? Put it up on the screen. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Watch. And Jesus likens the urge to watch as one that would watch for a thief. Watch like you're watching for a thief. When me and Ashley moved into our new house in Jefferson, we were moving in, and it had that pretty little American dream ring to it. HOA. Can't have weeds in your yard. Gotta have pine straw. Can't have your trash can outside.
Can't have a portable basketball outside. Basketball goal outside. I'm like, are y'all going to tell me how to sleep in my bed too? Are y'all going to tell us how to turn the toilet paper over, under? Like, at what point does this stop? And all we could see was the three little houses and the current development that was happening in the neighborhood. And what I did not know is there was a house located behind our residence on the other side of the woods. We bought the house in summer. The trees were full of leaves. I did not know there was a house right there. And so one night, shortly after we moved in, we're on the back patio. We're decorating the back patio. We are setting up the back patio. My, what a pleasure and joy to decorate the back patio. Make it look like Chip and Joanna just threw up all over the back patio. So me and my kids and my wife, we had a Mason had a friend over. We had the Waters boy over with us, and we were out there. We were decorating the patio. We had the little Bluetooth speaker playing music. I don't think we were being spiritual. I think we were playing like Journey or something like that. And we're out there, and I'm setting up the back patio, and I'm stringing those white girl lights up. And I'm stringing them up, and I've got the ladder positioned in a way where as I'm putting them up, I can see out across the field the tree line where the other house is. And as I'm setting up the lights, we're getting everything in place, you hear sirens, police sirens. And then you see the lights of 7 or 8 cop cars come flying into that residence. You hear them over the loudspeaker hollering. And I'm like, oh, it's going down, like at our neighbor's house, like right now. And all the kids are like, oh my gosh. And you know, Ashley, she's perfect in a crisis. She's like, oh my God, what's happening? Do we need to go inside? What's going on? I'm like, we're fine. It's on the other side of the trees. Nothing to worry about. I'll tell you if it starts getting crazy. I go back to hanging lights. About this time, they're all playing, doing their own little thing. A guy comes running out of the woods. There's a walking trail that runs through our cute little Jefferson subdivision. He comes running up the trail in his Crocs, just getting, just running. And I'm like, y'all get inside. Everybody get inside. They don't see the guy. They're like, oh, we don't want to go inside. I said, get inside. They're like, we don't want, I said, get inside. Everybody runs inside. At this time, I'm not exactly strapped, right? I'm not, I am now. But at the time, all I had was two 22 handguns. 22 handguns, right? And so I run upstairs, I get the 22 handguns, I go outside, Jeffrey Ashley, I'm walking around the front yard like Nick Cage in Face Off, waiting on something to go down. Ashley's like, come inside, you're going to shoot yourself. And you know, you can only do so much with a 22. You got to literally like hit them with it as you pull the trigger for the bullet to penetrate. She's like, come inside. I said, no, he's out there. He's out there, bless God. I come inside. I'm sitting there in the living room looking out the window. Two little pop guns in my hand. Are you staying up? Yeah. He's out there. He might try to come in here. It's a good place to hide. She said, I'm going to bed, fool. The kids are scared. They're going to bed. You're scaring everybody. And I'm sitting there while everybody else is sleeping. Watching. Jesus said, like you are protecting your house from somebody wanting to get in. Like at any moment they could show up. He said, watch. Watch. Like a thief in your front yard. Jesus said, watch. You don't know the day, you don't know the hour, but like a thief in the night, I am coming. Now I want to go ahead and clarify something right now. Because when Jesus says that he is coming like a thief, he does not say that he is a thief. Because when a thief comes, he comes to take what does not belong to him. But when Jesus comes, he is coming to take every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every blood-bought, blood-washed believer who does belong to him. Can I stop and testify and tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the home stretch of the last days, and one of these days, the clouds are going to part, the sky will divide, and Jesus is coming back to take everything and everyone that belongs to him. Can I get a new grace? Amen. Can I get a new grace? Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to leaving. I'm looking forward to leaving this world behind. I'm looking forward to checking into another world. Somebody help me bless him. My God. Woo, we doing good on time, Pastor D. Watch the scene. Watch the scene. Watch the scene. Watch what happens on the scene of our planet. I get myself more and more ready every day, Henry, with more and more stuff that happens. More and more stuff that I read, more and more stuff that I hear. My daughter and I were sitting up the other night. We were talking about that atrocious crime committed against that young lady in Athens, Georgia. She's 18. My daughter's 18 years old. That girl was 22. Man, that struck a chord with me. I saw a picture of her parents, and my heart just turned in my chest. Me and Hannah were sitting up, and she said, "Daddy, this world is so messed up." She said, I hate this world. I don't like growing up. I don't like seeing it for what it is. You know what it is for years I was able to protect them from a lot of the realities of this planet. And now at 18, I can't protect them. I can prepare them, but I can't protect them. So now I've got a dual job. I have to trust God where I can't protect them. And then I have to take advantage of what God gave me to prepare them. And I'm not trying to prepare them to stay here forever. Do I want them to go to college? Of course. Do I want them to get a degree? Of course. Do I want them to find a good career path? Of course. Do I want them to budget and be good stewards of the money? Of course. Do I want them to find somebody and settle down and serve the Lord? Of course. But the big picture is I'm not trying to teach them how to live for this world. Because you know what? You're not going to be remembered in heaven by the career you had, the trade you had, the title you had, the talent you had. When you get to heaven, you're going to be remembered for what you did there, not on earth. You're not hearing me. When you get to heaven, when you're in eternity and you're being judged for all the days to come, it won't be about what you did on earth. It'll be about what you did in heaven while on earth. Watch the scene of what's happening and let it be fuel for your faith. Secondly, watch the Spirit. Watch how the Holy Spirit is going to ramp up revival in the last days. Oh, yeah. Do you think, I had this thought, JJ. I had this thought this week. Do you know that right now, God is no less interested in the reviving power of Pentecost than he was the day it happened? God is not okay with dead, dormant Christianity. God's not okay with it. God's not okay with us living from excuse to excuse, lie to lie, comfort to comfort, convenience to convenience, acting like we need pillows attached to our crosses. When he said you have to deny yourself if you want to be my disciple and follow me whatever it costs you. And the Holy Spirit is looking to do a reviving work. I'm going to tell you something. He's looking to do it in the next generation. Yes. Yes. Our church is backwards and lopsided. The fire happens with the older people. But I long for the day and I look forward to it when it starts happening with middle school students and high school students. And they become the very epicenter of where revival breaks out because the Holy Spirit begins to pour out His power. Watch the scene. Watch the Spirit. Watch the sky. Watch the sky. I've been preaching this sermon to myself all week. And I've been trying to be so mindful of the reality that I may see it in my lifetime. That Jesus will step out on the clouds. Man, I'm so tired of this world. Wouldn't hurt my feelings. I remember when I first got saved and I learned about the rapture of the church. I learned about what I'm talking about here. And I remember being like, I want that to happen, but not yet. I want that to happen, but not yet. I want that to happen because I look forward to biblical prophecy coming true. I look forward to actually leaving here. But Lord, could you just wait a little bit longer and let me serve you a little bit more? Could you let me tell a few more hundred people about heaven? Could you let me make just a bigger splash, a bigger impact? And you get older. And life gets crusty and you get crabby. And you just have it. Like you just choke on all the woke. You're just sick of it, right? You just get over it. You get over it. And you're just like, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? I'm watching the scene. I know it's 2024. I know we're supposed to be voting in November. That's cool. I'll pray. Use Holy Ghost discernment. Use wisdom out of the Word of God and cast my ballot. But I'll be honest with you. My vote goes to a king. It does. It does. It ain't no bump Trump riding with Biden. My vote goes to the king. And I'm ready for him to come back. But there's a weird part of me that's like, hey, can you hold on a little bit longer? Because some of these precious people in my church, their kids are lost. Some of those people sitting on Sunday mornings are religious, but they're going to hell. They're religious. They've been in church 10, 15, 20 years, but they are not regenerated. They are religious with no relationship. And I might be the only gatekeeper standing between them and the charred walls of the dam telling them the truth, because all the other preachers want to pad the pockets and pat their back and tickle the ears and make them feel good and give them some Joel Osteen sermon to send them right into a crisis eternity with a smile on their face. Could you just wait a little longer? And my daughter sent this to me. Ava sent this to me. Y'all remember when the AT&T lost service the other day? Go ahead, call me a conspiracy theorist. Here it comes. You ready? You ready? I sat my kids down about 2 months ago. Now listen, anyway. I said, did y'all know that there's another country overseas that has a contraption that looks like a fly swatter? And you can set a cell phone on a table and you can take that fly swatter and you can click that button and it will fry that phone. It will fry everything, software and hardware, in that technology. I said, do you know there is probably a country and a military overseas working on putting that thing on a drone or a balloon? Turning that thing on and knocking out half our power grid? Do you know that's a possibility? Do you understand that? Do you realize that one day, all this biblical end time reality that we teach preach, and believe could actually start happening in our lifetime. And I said, I just want you to know, if we are somewhere separate ways, school, the mall, work, wherever, and all of a sudden everybody's phones get fried out, or you end up in an SOS signal and we don't have a way to talk, here's the deal. If it happens like that for an extended period of time, meet me back at this house. Meet me back at this house. The next day, Hannah started freaking out because while she was at college, her phone went on an SOS signal. It was just hers. But she was ready to hot dog it back to Jefferson. I'm going to tell you right now. Well, this week, all that stuff happened. We're AT&T carriers, okay? That happened, and it's blowing up. And you know, it's on TikTok. Boy, all the conspiracy nuts, boy, they're rolling with it. They're rolling with it. It's a test run. Get ready, get ready, get ready. It's a test run. All that stuff. And me and my daughter, Ava, were just talking about the realities of what if that kind of stuff was a warm-up to the real thing? However it's going to all happen, right? However it's going to go down before we go up. And she said, I just told her, I said, hey, it's going to be okay. Don't be filling your head with all that. After I sent that, I was like, I think I had something to do with that. She put, I know. I'm just thinking about what are possible ideas and things that will happen if this is real. I said, God is in absolute control, 100%. Don't let a spirit of fear bother you. We are winners either way. And then she said this. And boy, when she said this, it took me back. She said, I just want to make sure I have time to do stuff for him. I want to make sure I got time to do stuff for him. I'm trying to get ready, come out here to spit out whatever news I've already forgotten about. I'm getting ready. And she comes running through there, sticks her head in there and says, Daddy, tell the teenagers to sit in the student section. I'm telling them that they won't listen to me. That right there. That's it. That's what's missing. That right there. That whole, I'm leaving, but I want to live like it. That right there. That's it. I'm leaving, but I want to live like it. We're in the days a lot. It's coming. It's happening. Are you living like any day you could be leaving? Where are you? Living for the wrong world. Are you such a weak witness that nobody would take your testimony serious? And could you just get your eyes off the horizontal and start looking? Watch. Like a thief in the night. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Somebody give him praise in the house. Come on. You know why Lot left? It's in Genesis 19. It says that the Lord was merciful to him. Paul said we're going to be saved from wrath. Not just eternal wrath, end time wrath. My God. Mercy is the pull of the magnet.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcatcher. New episodes are posted each week on Tuesday.